One of the most important things that you and I possess is our physical body. The Bible tells us that it is this physical body that houses our spirit and our soul. Paul refers to it in 2 Corinthians 5:1 as our earthly tabernacle. Folks, our body is the machine which enables us to function in the world. It is the mechanism through which every one of us serve the Almighty God. It is our body which enables us to work and labor and toil in order for us to provide for our necessities and for all the fun things that we like to do. Our body is the means by which you and I communicate to every individual who is in the entirety of the world. Almost every person I know loves, honors, respects, and appreciates his or her own body. Notice too, we do not want to give up any member of our body unless it is absolutely essential, right? Now, scientists oftentimes tell us that there are vestigial organs that we possess. Supposedly, these are organs that at one time in our evolutionary development were essential, but now they are there, but they don't really do anything. I don't know about those scientists. I will keep my vestigial organs. You're not going to go cut on me just because they think they aren't needed. I will keep my little toe. I will keep every piece of skin on my body. I will keep my bones. I will keep my joints. I'll keep my muscles. I'll keep my ligaments. I will keep every part of my body. Won't you? Why are we so possessive of our own body parts? Well, because every body part is important, isn't it? You see, we have what we refer to as big organs, don't we? I'll keep my brain, thank you. I don't want you going and jerking my heart out. I think I'll keep my lungs, but in addition to that, I'm going to keep some other parts too. I'm going to keep my toes, I'm going to keep my fingernails, and I'm going to keep all the hair on my body as long as I can. Every part is needed. Now what I want us to do is I want us to take this concept that is so easily understood regarding our physical body and transfer that to the body of Christ. Folks, the title of our lesson very simply is this: the body needs you. We have 4 points that we're going to be covering in this lesson. Point number one, the church is the body. In fact, the church is called the body in numerous places, isn't it? Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Colossians 1, 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 18. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians he addresses them as the church of God in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. But as we continue to read through that particular epistle, we get to chapter 12, and he tells them this: now ye, the church of God which is in Corinth, are what? The body of Christ. Folks, the church is the body, and the body is the church. When I say those words, I am reminded of John Shannon. John Shannon gets to this particular point, and boy, he hounds it over and over and over again. The church is the body and the body is the church. The church is the body and the body is the church. The church is the body and the body is the church. Folks, he wants us to know what? The church is the body, and the body is the church. Question. How many physical bodies do you have? I knew I was going to preach this lesson today. So as everyone was walking in, I did a massive survey. And I was checking boxes. How many people in here have more than one body? Guess what? Not one of you have more than one body. Every one of us has one and only one body. If you had come in here with two bodies, we'd need to go somewhere. And folks, in like manner, guess what? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, only has one body. Isn't that what the Bible says? Ephesians 4, verse 4, there is one body. Remember, the body is the church, and the church is the body. If there is only one body, then there is only what? There is only one church. That's what the Bible teaches. There are not many. There are not even two. And there certainly are not 2,000 in existence today as far as being the body of Christ. Folks, Jesus has one body and only one body. Point number two, every Christian is a member of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians affirms that in several places. Paul takes the concept of a physical body and he applies it to the spiritual body. Notice what he says, for the body is one and hath what? Many members. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. In verse 20, he flip-flops that thought around and he says this, but now are they many members, yet but one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, but now are ye the body of Christ and members in particular. Folks, the body has many members. The members of the body of Christ are just as diverse as the physical body. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12 just a minute. And Paul makes mention of several different members of the physical body. He makes mention of the foot in verse 15. He makes mention of the hand in verse 15. He makes mention of the ears in verse 16. He also makes mention of the eye in verse 16. We drop down just a little bit further in verse 22, and he talks about the feeble parts of the body. I've got a couple of those. And they seem to get more feebler every day. He talks about those members of the body that are less honorable. And then he also talks about our comely parts and our uncomely parts. You know what's the shame about that? Comely parts have a tendency to become uncomely over the years, don't they? What used to be so beautiful, what used to be so perfect, what used to be presentable to others, guess what you do? You hide that stuff, don't you? Because they're no longer comely. You go to the book of Acts and you read through and you get to chapter 11, verse 22, and Luke makes an interesting statement about the church. He says that a message has come to the church, and here's what he says. That message has come to the ears of the church, which is in Jerusalem. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? You see, there are individuals in churches who have the ability to hear things. Sometimes they can hear things almost before those things are even spoken. There's many individuals who get information long before the preacher ever gets the information. They found out weeks ago, and you find out, and they look at you and say, you're just now finding that out? You see, there's ears in the church who have the ability to what? To hear within the body of Christ. Folks, the body of Christ is diverse, isn't it? We have elders, we have deacons, and we have preachers. It's amazing to me that we put such an emphasis on those three categories of individuals. Yes, those are leadership positions, but folks, guess what? Those individuals are in the minority in the body of Christ. We have teachers, don't we? And we have teachers of all ages. We have women who can teach cradle roll, women who can teach preschoolers, women who can teach elementary children. There's the middle schoolers, there's the high schoolers, there's adults, and there's the old folks. When I was at Eastwood, we had over 125 members, 65 and over. We had about 15 members who were 90 and older. That group of individuals had their own class. There was about 30 in there, 65 and up, 30 people. Can you imagine that? And there were about three men in the congregation, and they loved to teach that class. No, they weren't that old, but they loved to teach that class, just those older people. Aren't you glad that we have people like that? We have members of the church who are givers, don't we? Individuals who have money. Individuals who have been blessed with riches in this life, and those individuals, they desire and they long to give abundantly to the church. My very first work was in Eastland, Texas. We were taking a group of young people on a trip. One of the members walked up to me and he says, "Vic, do you need some money to help some of those young people on that trip?" I said, "Well, there's a couple who could use it." He reached down in his pocket. He pulled out a wad of money. It was all rolled up. He pulled that out and he popped off $300 bills to me. And folks, the rest of that roll was hundreds. That wasn't the only hundred he had. I about fell on the floor. That was in 1982. I bet he's walking around with $1,000, $1,500 in his pocket. I can't even carry a buck. I couldn't believe it. He said, "Here, $300 help." I said, "Man, yeah. Got some more, I'll take some more. You start handing out money to preacher, he'll take it." But you see, you have givers in the body of Christ. We have caregivers, don't we? Individuals who take care of an individual, and then once that individual passes away, they don't stop. They just find another person to take care of and another person to take care of. And sometimes they just give their life to being a caregiver, don't they? We have members who are servants. We have members in the church who can cook. We have members in the church who are wonderful encouragers of others. I could name you probably 10 or 12 people in the course of my ministry who have been great encouragers of a gospel preacher. You know that? Now, there's a bunch of discouragers. That's not a member. That's a disease. But there's been a lot of good encouragers. We have individuals in the church who are given to prayer, given to hospitality, given to benevolence. Folks, we've only touched the hem of the garment on the diversity of members within the body of Christ. Now, the point is this: every member in the church is needed. Underline the little word, every member is needed. Now, Vic, how do you know that? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. Listen to what Paul writes. "But now hath God set the members," watch this, "every one of them in the body as it hath pleased Him." Wow. Folks, when you became a Christian, when you obeyed the gospel, our Lord took you out of the world and He put you into the precious body of Christ. He knows your personality. He knows your heart. He knows your experiences. He knows your education. He knows the good, the bad, the weaknesses, the strengths. He knows everything there is about you. And He says, wow, look at this person. This person has obeyed the gospel. I'm going to take this person and I'm going to set this individual right here in the body of Christ. Folks, God put you exactly where He wants you. You know that? And guess what? We have a function that you and I must fulfill in the body of Christ. Let me ask you a question. How many of you thank every body part for what it does in your body every day? You do that? Thank you, lungs, for breathing. You don't do that. Thank you, tongue, for allowing me to talk today. We don't say that. But guess what? That does not mean that that particular organ, that particular part of our body needs to quit functioning, does it? I'm not there to please the body. I'm there to what? I'm there to fulfill the functions of the body. And guess what? Every member is absolutely essential. The question we need to ask ourselves is this: what member am I? I need to ask myself that. I also need to ask myself this question: am I functioning properly? And perhaps I need to ask this question: if not, why not? If you're a Christian, you're a member. If you're a member, are you functioning properly? And if you are not, you need to ask yourself, why not? You see, God puts you in the body as He wanted you put to fulfill a function. The Apostle Paul makes this statement in 1 Corinthians 12:22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? Are necessary. Folks, even the feeble members of our body are absolutely essential. Again, we ask you the question: what member of your body is not important? What member of the body would you today just go to the doctor and say, hey, just cut this off, I don't want it? Not one member of your body you would do that way. Would you? How about this? Which member of your body do you want just to quit working today? Just one eye? You can get along with one eye. I've seen a lot of people do that. You just want one of your eyes just to quit working today? How about one of your feet? All of a sudden that foot just goes numb. No muscles. No ligaments around the ankle. Nothing. That foot just goes totally helpless. You want that today? How would you like for your thumb to say, you know, I need a rest for the next month, and your thumb just won't work on your right hand or your left hand, whichever one is your dominant hand? I just think I'll quit for today. Folks, there is not a member of my body that I want to quit functioning. Do you? None. Nada. Not one. And folks, the same is true in the spiritual body of Christ. Do you know that? There is not one member who is not needed in the precious body of Christ. God doesn't want to cut you off, and God does not want you to quit functioning as He designed you to function. Isn't it funny how we can be so possessive of that concept with regard to our physical body, but for some reason we do not want to make that transfer to the spiritual body and to ourselves? Folks, listen to me. The church needs you. If all are needed, the question we might ask is this: why are there many members of the church not functioning as they should? Do you know that's a lesson all in itself? We could probably spend the next 2 weeks talking about that. How about this one? Some members aren't given a chance to function in the body. Are there some individuals in the body of Christ who are teachers, but yet they are not given an opportunity to teach? Absolutely. Well, they're not the best. They don't have the deepest knowledge. They are not yet skilled in presentation. I went to the Memphis School of Preaching in 1982. I started preaching at the Dell, Arkansas congregation in 1982. I had never taught an adult class. Never. Folks, I was 23 years old. And guess where I got stuck? In an adult class. And they didn't say, "Oh, he's just too young. He just don't know enough. He needs to grow up and get to be about 55 years old and then he'll be perfect for an adult class." Are you kidding me? Folks, you want to know one of the best ways to learn how to teach? Teach! How are they ever going to get skilled? How are they ever going to mature? How are they ever going to develop? We just don't use them. Let them sit there on that pew. And see, here's another concept we have. Well, the preacher gets paid to do that. Isn't that something? We'll let the body suffer because of these crazy ideas that we have and don't develop people. How about this next one, folks? There's some members of the church who are so caught up in sin that guess what? It causes them to malfunction, doesn't it? Sadly, there are some members of the church who, "Oh yes, I want to die. I want to go to heaven. I want the blood of Jesus to save me, but I don't want to work and I don't want to fulfill my role as a member in the body." That's amazing, isn't it? What an attitude. "Save me, God, but I don't want to do anything for you." How about this one? Some individuals have been hurt in times past when they've tried to do things in the body. Oh, they made a mistake. They didn't say it just right. They got a little something out of order. Their words just weren't perfect. They offended one or two individuals by something that was said. And guess what we do? We just X that person, don't we? Or somebody's got to rebuke him. Somebody's got to put that person in his place. Somebody's got to tell him how it is. That person gets offended and you want to know what that person says? "I'm done. If that's the way I'm going to get treated, if that's the way people are going to address me, then guess what? I'm done." I'm not saying it's right or wrong to do that. I'm just saying it happens, doesn't it? How about this next one? Some individuals have just grown discouraged for some reason. Maybe it's things happening in their life. Struggles and difficulties and sorrows and afflictions that have come their way, and they've just grown discouraged, and for some reason or another they throw up their hands and they allow their Christian service to take a back seat rather than the front seat. There's some members who are caught up in the cares and the riches and pleasures of this world. It's amazing how much time and attention and effort we'll put into this world, but the church, the kingdom of God, His righteousness, the world to come, nah, not going to put in near that kind of time. Or this one. There's many in the church who, if you talk to them, they'll tell you, "Oh yeah, I want to be faithful, I want to be dedicated, I want to be an active member." And you do everything you could possibly do in order to try to help them and get them active. And guess what they do? They always have an excuse as to why they can't. See, we have members of the body who malfunction, who aren't serving their purpose. And the reasons for that are legion, folks. And we need to do everything we can do to eliminate those reasons. Why? Because God put me in this body to do something. That's why. God has a purpose for me. How about this one? When every member works and labors as they should, folks, there's a lot of good that's done. There's unity in the body of Christ, isn't there? The body of Christ grows. The body of Christ grows physically. The body of Christ grows spiritually. And when every member is working in harmony and unison, there is absolute peace in the body of Christ. Every member ought to memorize Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. It's not an easy verse to memorize, that's for certain. But notice what Paul says. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. One of these days, I'm going to take that verse, and there's seven statements that that verse can be divided up into. Number one, from whom the what? Whole body. Did you hear that? Not part of the body. Not some of the body. Not two or three members of the body. But the what? The whole body. Folks, God's concerned about the whole body. Secondly, fitly joined together and what? Compacted. See, the body has to be fitly joined together and compacted. Which what? Every joint supplieth. Underline that little word every again. Every joint supplieth. According to the effectual working. See, we can do a lot of stuff and it not be what? Effectual. It not be beneficial. It not be doing what it's supposed to be doing. In the measure of what? Every part. I'm just amazed at how many times he emphasizes all, every, the whole. Folks, God's concerned about every one of us. Maketh increase of the body, number seven, to the edifying of itself in love. There's a sermon somewhere in there. I'll guarantee you. Point number four. The body has a head. We just made mention of Ephesians 4:16. Go back to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even who? Even Christ. Folks, the body of Christ has a head. From whom the whole body, verse 16, you see, the body springs from what? Springs from the head. Here's something we need to understand. The head knows everything that's happening in the body. Everything. The head knows whether the body parts are functioning as they ought. Doesn't he? You think Jesus knows whether I'm functioning in the body of Christ as I should function? I bet he does. Now you flip that coin, and guess what the other side of that is? He also knows every member of the body who is what? Who is not functioning
as they ought to function.
He knows that. Wow. Every member of the body is accountable to who? Is accountable to the head. Now here's what's interesting. The head assesses the problems, the difficulties that are going on with the body. And then the head decides what it's going to do in order to try to make not the member, but what? The whole body continue to be strong and productive. Sometimes he asks other members to come along for support, doesn't he? It's happened to me several times when I've preached. Call up the elders, 7:30. Hey guys, I'm heading to the hospital. I can't preach today. Uh-oh. Member of the body got messed up. And guess what? Somebody steps in and fills my role for a while, don't they? Folks, that's the kind that helps that individual until he can get strong again. Sometimes a member may need what? A member may need a little nourishment, or that member may need a little medication, and both of those come from the Word of God. Sometimes just a good old injection, a big old pill, can do the trick, can't it? Sometimes a member needs to be exercised to be strong. Go to the doctor. Doc, I don't feel good. You know what he tells you to do? Get out and exercise, boy. And all of a sudden you start exercising. Muscles get stronger. You begin to develop a lot of stamina and a lot of strength, don't you? When I was over in Paris, I went to visit a man at the nursing home there. He said, Vic, before I got here, he said, I could barely walk from my chair to the kitchen table. He said, that's one of the reasons I came in this place. He says, when I got here, though, one of the aides here started encouraging me to go out and walk a little. He said, the first day I took about 50 steps. He says, I now walk 3 miles every day. Every day. If you'd have seen him, you'd have thought, there's no way. A couple of years ago, you couldn't hardly walk. Folks, that guy could outwalk me on the track. And he was in his 80s. It's unbelievable. Sometimes body parts just need what? A little exercising, don't they? Every now and then, a body part might need radical surgery. When there's a tumor, when there's disease in that body, sometimes you've got to go in there and you've got to what? You've got to get that out. And sometimes the head may make this decision. It's time for this body part to be cut off. Can't be used anymore. It's no good. If it continues, it will affect the body in a negative way. Folks, God wants His body what? Strong. God wants His body without disease. God wants His body pure and holy and functioning as it ought. And sometimes a diseased member just has to be removed. Are you a Christian? Folks, if you are, you are a member of Christ's body. That means I need to ask myself this question. Am I functioning as a healthy member of the body of Christ? Folks, if not, you need to remember that the body of Christ needs you. And you need to remember that it was God who took you and put you exactly where He wants you in His service. One of these days, every member will give an account of himself to God. Isn't that what Paul wrote in Romans 14, 12? So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. As a member of the body, are you ready to give that account today? If not, you may need to repent and ask God to forgive you and become the kind of member of the body God wants you to be. Maybe you're not even a member of the body, folks. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit are ye all baptized into what? One body. Isn't that interesting? How do I get into the body of Christ? I'm baptized into the body. That's how it is. But prior to my being baptized, I have to believe in the Christ as the Son of God. I have to repent, die to my old way of living. And I've got to confess the beautiful name of Jesus publicly before men. At that point, I'm ready to be immersed for the forgiveness of my sins. And my friends, when you come up out of those waters, God puts you exactly where He wants you, in His body. You need to be put there this morning. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.